You are Locked On Mets, your daily New York Mets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello to all you amazing Mets fans. You're listening to Locked On Mets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thank you for making Locked On Mets your first listen every day. Locked On Mets, free and available on all platforms, including YouTube. On the show today, we got a pretty interesting and different story I'll be covering. Anthony Recker is beefing with Alek Manoah and Marcus Stroman, even though Recker doesn't really want that smoke. He's just trying to have a career in TV, and that is the conversation we'll be having in the first segment. And even the second segment, we're going to dive into the comments the Recker made that got blown up on social media. I'm going to give my take on the situation why I believe Recker was kind of justified in what he said. Might not have been the most glowing comment, but I don't think that it is as serious as it was made out to be. So we'll go through that in the first couple segments. Then we're going to close the show with the remainder of the fan questions I got on Twitter yesterday, burning questions ahead of spring training. Before we get to any of it, though, I'm your host, Ryan Finkelstein. If you want to find any of my work, follow me on Twitter, at FinkelsteinRyan. You can also find some of my writing at justbaseball.com, where I work, the managing editor. This episode is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook, the official sportsbook of Locked On. Make every moment matter more by visiting FanDuel.com/LockedOn today to get started. Now, there is a little Twitter beef that is brewing between Anthony Recker and Alek Manoah, and then Marcus Stroman decided to weigh in. And when Stroman jumped on the bandwagon of trashing Anthony Recker, I felt like this was at least enough Mets players involved that it was worth talking about, particularly because I kind of want to take an unpopular opinion here and stand with the guy that was fat-shaming a player on national television, which I know is definitely not the popular stance to be in, but I also think if we give Recker the benefit of the doubt and listen to his entire statement, not just the 17-second clip that Manoah reacted to, we can maybe understand where he's coming from, and maybe we don't have to grab the pitchforks and call Anthony Recker a clown and say he has no business ever speaking on TV again as a guy that grinded to have a career in baseball and is trying his best to have a post-career in baseball. And I honestly, whether you like Recker on TV or not, and honestly, I haven't watched enough of him to have an opinion there. He is justified to talk about the game of baseball as a guy that worked in the game of baseball, tried to grind his way up as an 18th round pick, got 4 years of MLB service time, had a 7-year big league career playing parts of 7 seasons, and also caught a ton of game in the minor leagues. If MLB Network wants to ask that guy who's sitting at their desk which pitcher in baseball under 30 he would like to take moving forward, and he even says, I actually narrowed that list to under 25 because if I'm starting my franchise, I want a pitcher of that age. And he highlights pitchers. He was highlighting Alek Manoah as one of the best under 25 pitchers in the game. But what he said that is drawing all the criticism, he said, I'd like to see, he's like, while I love Alek Manoah, I love what he does on the mound, essentially, he says that he'd like to see him in the gym a little bit more so he knows he's going to hold up, is what he was saying. Now, obviously people took that, took the out of context comment or even the full context comment and said, why is he commenting on this one player's weight and not anyone else? But I want you to first, before we even dive into my take on it, hear out Recker and what I believe personally is generally a relatively innocuous comment where he dives into which pitcher he would take under 25 to start his franchise with. While it wasn't Manoah, he was an honorable mention. Ultimately, he'd go with Tristan McKenzie, and here's why.
What about you, Anthony?
I self-imposed a 25-year age limit on this just because it started your franchise, and so I really wanted to go young. And it was fun because I found some great names as I was going through it. These are guys I did not choose. Shane McClanahan, fantastic, 25. Yeah. Christian Javier, I just want to see him do it a little bit longer. Sure. Alek Manoah, I love you, Alec. Just show me you're willing to put in a little more time in the gym and that you're going to be there consistently for a little bit longer. I still love you. Spencer Strider, do it for a little bit longer than you know, he's pretty much a half a season so far he's been as a starter. Man, I landed on Tristan McKenzie. And this is because I saw him in 21, and you saw this stuff, right? Oof. But he had the walk rate was through the roof, and he struggled at times with consistency. Well, to your point about getting better and about being long and feeling like you're right on top of the hitter, this guy has both of those. He got much better last year. He was very consistent. The K rate declined. I don't care about that. The walk rate really dropped. And to me, that was hugely important. I love this kid's makeup. I love what he does out there. And I think he's on the type of team that's young and upcoming. I really like where he's at. If I had to start a franchise, he would be the guy I would go to because I feel like he's getting better and he could do almost no wrong for me right now.
Now, granted, I totally understand why Alek Manoah hears that, says, man, F you, I just put up a 2.24 ERA. I'm awesome. I've shown I'm durable. All I've done is show I'm durable. Why are you commenting on my weight when it has no bearing on my performance on the hill? I get that sentiment. 100%. Okay? As someone who has been fat for a majority of my life, do I want someone talking about my weight? Of course not. Of course not. I get it. I totally get being sensitive on that. With that said, if you're a talent evaluator and you had to decide which pitcher you're going with, to think that a pitcher's body type would not at all factor into your decision as a talent evaluator, as someone who has to answer the question, should he have maybe not said that? Should he have just said Tristan McKenzie and not mentioned Alek Manoah's weight? Yeah, but for him, when he was justifying those two pitchers, that was the differentiating factor. And I'm sorry he said it out loud. I got a lot more on this. I really do. Because I think what happened after, particularly with Marcus Stroman towards Wrecker, was just a little bit uncalled for. So I want to get to all of it. I also want to compare those two pitchers a little bit. I got a lot here. We're going to get back to it. But first, I just want to tell you about FanDuel Sportsbook. If you are about to have your Super Bowl party, that's the only app you need. They're the number one sportsbook in America. We're really excited they have now become our new sports betting partner for Locked On because they're that number one sportsbook in America. And if you're new to FanDuel, that's even better because they have so many great features. You can make betting on sports fun and easy. Download the FanDuel app now so you can bet on Super Bowl 57 with a no-sweat first bet. You'll get up to $3,000 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. FanDuel lets you bet on everything from the money line to the point spread to who will score a touchdown. The FanDuel Sportsbook app is safe, secure, and super easy to use. Best of all, you can get paid your winnings instantly. So join FanDuel today at FanDuel.com/LockedOn to claim your no-sweat first bet on Super Bowl 57. That's FanDuel.com/LockedOn. Make every moment matter more with FanDuel, the official sportsbook partner of the NFL. All right, so the reason that this story kind of riled me up is because it gets back to what I think is almost, I don't know if it's entitled or lazy or both, where, you know, the top tier athletes in sports who obviously should have a voice to share their opinion, that's why they have social media, that's why they have their own platforms, that's why they're creating kind of a new media where they can have a voice for themselves. That does not mean that the rest of us can't have a voice. So what I didn't like about this is the way that Manoah clapped back and also the way that Stroman really added some kerosene to the fire and piled on. Manoah says, hey, Anthony Wrecker, my job isn't to please you. You're an outsider. You don't know me or my work ethic. What I do in the gym has clearly worked. Check the numbers. Sucks you can't say the same for yourself. Honestly, if it stayed at that, if there wasn't further beef, if there wasn't more conversation from Manoah, if there wasn't from Stroman, look, he can talk his trash because his numbers have been great. But there's some things I don't like about that. The first one, you're an outsider. You don't know me. Well, granted, he doesn't know the work that he does in the gym. I get that. But in any other walk of life, if a guy like Anthony Wrecker, in the shape of Anthony Wrecker, told a guy in the shape of Alek Manoah that he needs to be in the gym more, while it hurts to hear, let's be completely honest with ourselves. Here, I'm smacking my mic around. Talking with my hands a bit. Let's be completely honest here. If Anthony Wrecker looked at me and said, you need to get in the gym more, and I look at a guy who probably is in the gym every single day of his life and is eating clean, could I really look at him and say, yeah, my health is on the same level as yours? No. Is it a great thing to hear. No, but again, it's kind of an innocuous comment when you hear the whole clip, in my opinion. And to say he doesn't have a place, you're an outsider, you can't speak on this. Man, Anthony Recker, if someone wants to ask Anthony Recker about a pitcher, as a guy that had to grind his way from an 18th round pick to get up to the big leagues, what did he have to do to get to that point as a defensive catcher? Well, he had to work with pitchers all the time, prove that he could be of value to organizations by helping their prospects along, and then at the big league level, by helping manage a pitching staff. So the guy knows pitching. Okay, so we'll start there. He has nearly, or caught over 1,000 innings at the big league level over 7 seasons. Caught nearly 1,000 games in the minor league level, 951 games. Nearly 7,000 innings squatting down behind the dish in the minor leagues. Yeah, he's not a complete outsider in the realm of baseball. That's all I'll say with that. Now, comparing the two pitchers, Alek Manoah is better. 2.24 ERA over 31 starts. I'd pick Manoah over Tristan McKenzie. But McKenzie is not a vastly inferior pitcher. 2.96 ERA over 31 outings, 30 starts. 191 and a third. They both were durable last year. They both took the ball every fifth day. McKenzie, slightly higher K rate, slightly lower walk rate, better xFIP, and maybe you could say compared to his last year to this one, a little more of an upward trajectory, although Manoah did show great improvements in year two. You look at the differences. Manoah gave up less home runs. That's why he had a lower ERA. He had a better expected ERA. He had a better FIP. But again, you know, there were some stats that were better on McKenzie's side. You can have your opinion. All I'm saying is that Recker is justified in having one. And what he said, the fact that he couched it in the beginning with, I love you, I love you, I love you, you should probably lose a little bit of weight, is essentially what he was saying. Let's just boil it down. And then he apologized on Twitter. Why do we got to drag the guy through the mud and say he can never talk on television again? He's now some pariah because he had an opinion. That's my thing. It's just the fact that Anthony Recker's 199 career batting average suddenly deems him unable to talk about baseball. Guess what? I would not have hit 199 in the major league. So if he doesn't have the right to talk about baseball, I guess I don't. And I'm going to keep talking about baseball because it seems like some people like to tune in. So that's just a thing with me that it was a pet peeve. I didn't like how that whole thing broke down. And to kind of illuminate this further of what was said on Twitter. So I already mentioned what Manoah said. It's not my job to please you. You're an outsider. You don't know me or my work ethic. What I do in the gym is clearly work. Check the numbers. Sucks. You can't say the same for yourself. Here's Recker's apology. Don't let someone throw a video out of context at you, get you upset. You're an incredible talent, man. I love to see you make the most of that. I hope to see you continue to get better and be great for a long time. I wish I had even a tiny speck of the talent that you do. And then we saw everyone basically jumping on board of, you can't say that, you know, look, you had no results in your career, Recker. How, you know, how, where are you justified as someone who had a bad MLB career to be knocking a guy that's an all-star? Man, if you're an 18th round pick who's grinding as a catcher in the minor leagues, getting 4 years of service time is absolutely a career that you had to work your ass off to be able to get that much run to big league level. The guy hit, was it 18? I think it was 18 home runs and like 560. I think it was 551 plate appearances, 18 home runs for Recker's career. How many catchers have gone through the minor league gauntlet and it would kill to have gotten that many plate appearances in the show, to have hit close to 20 home runs? Not to say the guy's incredible, but again, he worked as hard as he could to maximize the talent that he had, and his talent does not compare to first-round picks like Alek Manoah and Marcus Stroman. And so all I'm saying is those guys can't knock him and say you have no right to voice your opinion on television because of the back of your baseball card. He's getting opportunities on television based on his knowledge base, and I just think he's justified in that. And last thing, I get the fan outrage if you're a Blue Jays fan. Someone's talking down your guy. We actually have Tyson. I love you, Tyson. I'm sorry if I don't pronounce your last name right. Shushkowicz. He writes for us at Just Baseball. He's our Blue Jays guy. And here was his opinion on it. He says, how is this taken out of context? Even watching the full clip of the segment, this is extremely uncalled for, considering how all the other pitches you mentioned, not one was critiqued or commented on in the same way. I personally believe that the reason why he critiqued Manoah in that way, for one, all the other guys don't have a build like Alek Manoah. So there's no reason to criticize him in that way in particular. And I would just say that I think he was basically saying he was between Manoa and McKenzie, and this is why he went McKenzie. Now, he had other criticisms. Spencer Strider. I can make an argument. If I had to start a team, I'd throw Spencer Strider because the dude was unbelievable. For Strider, his criticism was not enough of a track record. So, and I think he said the same thing of Shane McClanahan, too. Again, all I am advocating for is he's justified to have an opinion on pitching. And with the apology he said after, let Wrecker off the hook. That's it. Probably way too much time spent on this. But hey, as you can hear from listening, something I'm a little bit passionate about, something that got my juices flowing today. Felt like talking about it on my own platform here. So let's move on from this and let's focus back in on the 2023 Mets. I'm going to take your questions in just a minute. First, though, another word from our sponsors. All right, so yesterday's show, I did burning questions about the Mets ahead of spring training. I tweeted about it and got a few questions from fans that I did speak about in the final segment yesterday, but there was a lot more outpouring that came in after I recorded, so I want to take a minute here, rapid fire, go through the rest of the questions I got because there's some good ones here. First one, Ron Pope at Ron Pope Music on Twitter. He's been listening for a while from our communication on Twitter, so shout out to you, Ron. Thanks for tuning in. He said, we'd love to hear your gut on these. Assuming the lock for the bench are Nito, Guillorme, Vogelback, Pham, who gets the fifth spot? And then he said, same question for the last few spots of the bullpen. I did discuss this on yesterday's show, but I didn't really give my take on who I think would make it. I was going to have a whole show today on this, but then the record thing came up, so we're going to push that to next week, where I was discussing some of the undervalued or under the radar signs the Mets have made this offseason that I think are going to play a big role. And the two of them that I like are Danny Mendick, who I think is going to, if healthy, grab that last spot on the bench. I really think that he's got a lot of talent. And I think because he can play left, play multiple spots in the infield, and he raked against lefties last year, he fits that spot perfectly. So I saw the interview, as I mentioned yesterday, from Mets Mirage, from Matthew Brownstein with Mendick, and he said he'd be ready to go. So if he is, I got him breaking camp. As far as the bullpen goes, the last few spots after Diaz, Ottavino, Robertson, Raley, Smith, I think it's going to be David Peterson if he's not in the rotation. I think he's going to fill the Trevor Williams role. I think that Zach Greene as the Rule 5 pick is right now, I got to say it's him because to keep him, you need to put him onto your team. And I think it's Jeff Brigham. I think Jeff Brigham's slider is nasty, and that's going to push him ahead of all the other candidates to make that bullpen, although that is a really tough one because it's really who just pitches the best in spring training. Now, I've got another question from the Rationalish Met New York sports fan at Sorta Rational is what he said, is his handle, sorry, on Twitter. He goes, how long do you think Kodai Senga will take to settle in and adjust? What will Scherzer and Verlander be doing to help him get better? I think that those guys are going to be an open book, and it seems like Senga is a sponge that's willing to learn. So I can't quantify it, but I do think that making that transition is going to help to have two first ballot Hall of Famers in the same dugout with him to throw some stuff at and see what comes back. I think the fact that he's not pitching in the World Baseball Classic allows him a better chance to adjust quickly. And I think you also, as a pitcher, have the benefit of the league doesn't have any scouting report on you. So I actually think he's going to be great in the beginning. And there might be a period in the middle of the season where the scouting report is out on him, where he goes through a little bit of a downturn. Ultimately, if this guy's what he's supposed to be, he'll be able to make adjustments while the league adjusts to him. And you're just going to love the production you're getting. But at this point, without having seen him pitch in a big league game, even a spring training game, hard for me to really know how quickly. Again, though, I think on the front end, the fact that the league has to adjust to him is probably going to help him out. Now, same guy asked another question here. What type of things can the Mets do to keep their guys and old arms fresh and hot going into October? I would not be shocked if the Mets employ a six-man rotation at certain points this season, or if they give some guys more extended breaks if they ever are dealing with some wear and tear on the arm. Another question here from Jordan Olinsky. Do you think they will use one of the two catching prospects to trade for a more experienced bat? I think that's a distinct possibility at the deadline. That's one of your big pieces, is Parada or Alvarez. Likely, I'd imagine Parada over Alvarez, but we'll see. There's a chance that happens. You know, Parada, Mauricio, Vientos, the guys that are kind of on the outside looking in as far as a clear path to the roster, are your trade chips that hold great value that could be moved. I did that one yesterday. That one I answered yesterday. Beatty's going to get a lot of playing time in spring training due to the World Baseball Classic. You see a world where he does enough to get an opening day start in left field or third base. This is from Colin at Myers at Duffs on Twitter. I think that Beatty does not get an opening day start. I think that Escobar and Canna both get those nods. But I think if he breaks the roster, he's going to grab a lot of playing time from them. Another one from Yosef, who I did answer one of his questions yesterday. He said, what would be the most shocking move the Mets can pull off right now that would actually make sense? I don't know if there is a shocking move on the table. I guess the most shocking move would be to make a move for a Brian Reynolds type. I don't see it happening. I think that they're kind of set as is. Last one I got here, short, sweet, from 21st Century Metamorphosis. He's at 21st Century Met on Twitter. Vientos in AAA this season, I'd say likely. I think that is right now what I would anticipate, but he's got an outside shot if he has an awesome camp to make the team. Anyway, that's going to be all for today's episode of Locked On Mets this week. I'm Locked On Mets, unless we get some further news this weekend. As always, thank you for listening. We'll be back on Monday with Under the Radar editions. We'll be doing a deep dive into Mendick, Brigham, and maybe a couple others. So make sure you tune into that. Follow, rate, and review wherever you get your podcasts. Follow me on Twitter at Finkelstein Ryan. Follow the show at Locked On Mets. Thank you for making Locked On Mets your first listen every day. Now for your second listen, check out Locked On MLB Prospects, hosted by Lindsey Crosby. Locked On MLB Prospects. So where you want to go to learn about the stars of tomorrow, you can follow Locked On MLB Prospects on the Odyssey app, YouTube, or wherever you get podcasts.